to the Owner's Manual Radio Show with Dr. Michael Roizen. This and other great health talk shows at RadioMD.com. Here are Joe Galewski and Dr. Michael Roizen, MD.
Welcome to the Passionate Radio Show that helps you take control of your genes to become the world expert on your body. You, the Owner's Manual Radio Show with Dr. Mike Roizen, the Chief Wellness Officer at the Cleveland Clinic. Along every week is me. It is I, Joe Galewski. Thank you for listening today. To reach Dr. Mike on the phone, 877-711-5211, 877-711-5211. A lot of people like the email, and the email address is udocs@gmail.com, youdocs@gmail.com. We do have some email questions from our wonderful listeners. Dr. Mike has some answers for. We have our regulars in this hour not with us this hour. Dr. Gary Ginsberg, our toxicologist, and Dr. Arthur Perry will be with us next week. But in the meantime, a lot to keep you informed upon, some wonderful medical news stories of the week, Dr. Mike's Real Age Tip coming up in this hour, and just a lot of wonderful information to make sure you're feeling good and great. And we thank you for listening. To let's go to a story, Mike, that I think you have something you want to say about, talk about. It's some treatment for people with chronic lower back pain, right?
Correct. Sorry.
Okay.
This is a I had my thing. I apologize since I wanted people to hear you. Chronic back pain affects one in five people, and most are recommended to take a painkiller to stay active. Well, new recommendations may be a course of antibiotics. There are two research papers, one that found bacteria in 46%, almost half, of the tissue samples taken from discs of 61 patients undergoing surgery for the herniated disc. The other was 162 patients with herniated discs found that those given a 100-day course of an antibiotic, a very common antibiotic, amoxicillin, which is in the penicillin variety, very inexpensive antibiotic, had essentially had cures of it. That is, 80% of them had cures of it and got rid of the back pain. So apparently a lot of chronic back pain and maybe a lot of chronic arthritis, that is both knee and hip, that lasts more than 3 months, are in fact infections that make whatever is going on last and become chronic. So you'll get rid of the arthritis or the injured joint quickly if you don't have the infection. So this was an infection with a common form of skin bacteria. No one knows how it affects you, but it reminds me very much of the first days of the Helicobacter story when people had ulcers, and these guys in far-off land, Australia, came out and said, heck, 60% of ulcers can be cured with an antibiotic because they're infectious disease with this rare organism. And we said, yeah, right. And it turned out to be correct. They won the Nobel Prize for it. This really, if low back pain and arthritis, if 40% of it is, which is what happened, 40% of it can be cured by antibiotics, that's a really major breakthrough, Joe. So this is a huge story. What should you do if you have low back pain? Well, there's no way of testing for this. You don't have fevers with it. You don't have anything other than what normal people with arthritis have. So you do have a little elevation of what we call an inflammatory protein, C-reactive protein, and you may have that, but that would be true whether you had the infection or not. So it's trying 100 days of the antibiotic. It will give you, as you called it, symptoms characteristic of flu, if you will, Joe, that GI flu you had, except it won't be associated with the pain and as much discomfort. It will be associated with the typical antibiotic-related diarrhea, if you will. But nothing else, no other symptom for these people, and they got rid of their arthritis.
A cure, right? You said a cure?
It was in 40% of people, and this is a reasonably large study. It was 160 people, 162 people, in the group that had the edema. So these were 162 people that had the edema on MRI. Instead of going in and doing surgery, they did or other treatments. They got an antibiotic for 100 days. These are people who had the symptom for 3 months. They got an antibiotic for 100 days and got it in a randomized fashion. So they didn't know whether they were getting the placebo or the real one. The ones that got the real one, 80% of them got cured.
Fantastic, fantastic. And it could be amoxicillin, you mentioned. Is that true?
It is just a simple penicillin, amoxicillin with another drug that increases the blood level of amoxicillin.
Yeah.
So it isn't just amoxicillin, or you could get it with amoxicillin, more amoxicillin rather than the thing that inhibits its excretion. But in any case, this was a relatively inexpensive treatment, meaning it's $4 a month, so maybe $12 for the, or $14 for the full 100-day course, and you get a cure from a very...
Wow.
Costly and disabling condition.
Wonderful. That's incredible. Leaves me out, though. I'm allergic to amoxicillin. So.
Well, but this is a bacteria that is sensitive to a lot of other drugs.
Yeah.
So this is a really easy one to get alternatives to.
All right. Remember when I was sick 3 months ago? Remember when I was sick and I couldn't talk? I had a terrible voice, and I remember that. Remember that? And I went to the doctor,
yes,
and I had
to,
not to share all my problems in one show. I hate to be a burden to everybody, but seems people listening to the show probably think I'm a physical wreck, but...
I do have to, Muriel wrote in and said she shared the flu with you last
okay,
week.
Okay, Muriel. Thank you, Muriel. Somebody understands. But I went to the doctor, and I said, I took amoxicillin, and I got through about 8 days of it, and... By the eighth day, I broke out into a rash like you wouldn't believe, especially heavy on my legs. So there's got to be another way for me. Now I know I can't take amoxicillin.
So erythromycin is an alternative. Is
it? Okay. Okay, I'll do it again.
Yes.
Less sleep associated with an increased risk of crashes for young drivers. What can you say about that?
I can't say anything about that.
Oh, it's embargoed.
That's the headline of a story that will come out on Monday. So we'll talk about that Tuesday at WSYR and next week on this show.
There's another embargoed story on here, too, we can't talk about, either about a clinical trial. So, and they're interesting stories, but we can't do that.
We'll come back to them on Monday and Tuesday.
What can we do in a minute here? A rise in suicide plagues the military, Dr. Mike. They can't figure this out.
So, well, it was 10% about 12 years ago, lower than the national average. It has now climbed to be equal to the national average. They're doing all kinds of things. It's unrelated to fighting in the war zone. It's the common things, financial problems, not having hope, as our prior guest, Shane Lopez, making hope happen. It is people without hope. They had multiple problems at the same time. There is a potential cure, that is restricting availability. That is, if they take away not only their military guns, but they take away their private guns, then it seems like that is a effective therapy, because most of them kill themselves in the military with gunshots.
Yeah, and once they get back, if they're lucky enough to, fortunate enough to get back here after serving in the military in some of these places in the Middle East, they have a very difficult time adjusting again back into civilian life, and a very difficult time, you know, finding a job. So it's a good bet to hire a vet, because they've got the discipline and the dedication, obviously, that they have in the military. So if there is a need, you have to hire somebody, and if a vet fills the bill for you, then you should hire a vet, because they are very dependable, and they'll do a good job for you. So it's difficult being in the field, but it's difficult getting back to acclimated again to civilian life. We'll answer some emails from some listeners. Somebody likes French fries with salt. And what's an alternative, if anything? And we have a listener who says he's allergic to aspirin, and a couple of more, too. Email time next on You, the Owner's Manual Radio Show with Dr. Michael Roizen on Radio MD. Stay well.
Hi, this is Melanie Cole, show host here at Radio MD and a mother of two. I want parents to know about Great Start Life Insurance offered by Guarantee Trust Life Insurance Company. Great Start ensures the future insurability of your children. Now, what does that mean? Too often, people will get an illness or an injury at some point in their lives that afterwards can preclude them from receiving life insurance, and that can cause a lot of problems. But by insuring your children now with the Great Start Plan, the insurance that grows with your children, they'll already be insured regardless of future illness or injury. Find out all about the great benefits of the Great Start Plan. Go to GreatStartGTL.com and see for yourself why Great Start is, well, a great start for your kids. Peace of mind at GreatStartGTL.com. That's GreatStartGTL.com. For the Great Start Plan, go to GreatStartGTL.com.
Plan not available in all states. Life insurance underwritten by Guaranteed Trust Life Insurance Company, Glenview, Illinois.
Hi, I'm Dr. Regina Benjamin, U.S. Surgeon General. As a family doctor, I've seen the terrible impact of a premature birth. Losing a baby is one of the hardest things a family can go through. As Surgeon General, I see the toll that premature births have on our nation. It can cause lifelong disabilities. It is the leading cause of death in newborns. And our country has one of the highest rates of preterm birth in the world. We must do better. Hospitals need to ensure that babies are delivered early, only when medically necessary. We need research to find the causes of premature birth, and research to find new ways to prevent it. Couples need to learn the risk of premature birth and what they can do to have a full-term baby, such as getting a preconception checkup. Remember, 40 weeks is a full-term pregnancy, and every week of pregnancy counts. Let's work together for stronger, healthier babies.
My story may help you. This is what happened. I was talking to my best friend. I told her I wasn't feeling like myself. I had pain in my pelvic area and bleeding that wasn't normal for me. Since it had gone on for a couple of weeks, my friend said I had to go to the doctor. Of course, she was right. Turned out I had uterine cancer, a type of gynecologic cancer. To make a long story short, by realizing something might be wrong and seeing my doctor right away, I received treatment. Now, we're confident I'll be fine. Please, please listen to your body. If something doesn't feel right for 2 weeks or longer, see your doctor.
Uterine, cervical, ovarian, vaginal, and vulvar cancers are all gynecologic cancers. Signs and symptoms are not the same for everybody, so get the facts. Get the inside knowledge. Call 1-800-CDC-INFO to learn more.
Knowing can make all the difference in the world. It did for me.
A message from the Inside Knowledge Campaign and the U.S. Department of Health and Human Services.
With the American Academy of Pediatrics, I'm Dr. Don Schifrin. October 8th through the 14th is National Fire Prevention Week, a great time to brush up on fire safety skills. We've all heard of stop, drop, and roll, but there's also the first up, last out rule. This method was developed after studies revealed that children don't always wake up when a fire alarm sounds. Even if they do, they're often disoriented and confused by the noise and commotion. Under these circumstances, children may decide it's safer to hide under the bed or in a closet than venture out into the darkness and smoke. First up, last out aims to avoid that situation. When a smoke alarm goes off, the first person up, usually an adult, is responsible for finding and ushering everyone out of the house. So while a working smoke detector more than doubles your chance of surviving a fire, it is also important to ensure that no one gets left behind. And for more information on children's health and safety, visit www.aap.org. With a Minute for Kids, I'm Dr. Don Schifrin.
Don't miss a minute. Listen at your leisure, always online and on demand at RadioMD.com. You, the Owner's Manual Radio Show.
We're brought to you weekly by Morning and Night Multivitamins and YouBeauty.com. You, the Owner's Manual Radio Show. Dr. Mike Roizen, a Relay Chip of the Week coming up before the end of the hour. UDocs@gmail.com, YOUDOCS@gmail.com. We're on the phone, 877-711-5211, 877-711-5211. See if we can get to Dr. Mike, can you hear us? Because we're having some microphone problems with you. All right. Okay, we're going to see if we can connect with Dr. Mike. His microphone seems to be having some difficulties. And as soon as we can reconnect with him, we'll bring him on. In the meantime, we really need to get him back because I'm not a doctor. I can't answer any questions or talk about any of these things. But some of the top medical stories of the week that we have to deal with, of course, is the issue of medication. And Dr. Mike will talk hopefully in a couple of minutes about medication non-adherence, a diagnosable and treatable medical condition. One of the things hopefully we'll be able to get Dr. Mike to talk about here in a couple of minutes. Restaurant meals. I find this really difficult to believe that we don't know this, but restaurant meals are alarmingly high in fat. A new study says, and that to me seems to be something that we'd already know. A lot of high fat content in typical restaurant meals that have a lot of and a lot of the fun things I think that we do like to eat, but you've got to really make sure you look at calorie counts and how that works, and be very aware of you know, those kind of issues. All right. Also, anger apparently is linked to raising a heart attack risk. And your blood pressure builds up, and you get tense, very tense, and it kind of elevates your stress and anxiety level. So,
I think I'm back, Joe.
Okay, I tried my best to play doctor for about 5 minutes. It's not easy when you don't have a medical degree, sir.
I do not understand why I got disconnected, but I'm back. As far
okay,
as I know.
Well, good. I'm glad you are, because you are the backbone of this show. Okay, so I tried to kind of alert people as to what we were going to be talking about here. Let's talk about restaurant meals that are apparently, a new study says restaurant meals are alarmingly high in fat. I don't find that to be surprising at all, but what can you tell us about that story today?
Well, this was a study by Canadian researchers who looked at what they called 25 sit-down restaurant chains in both Canada and the U.S. The average meal at a chain restaurant, and McDonald's was one of those, obviously. I didn't realize it was a sit-down restaurant, but it is in their concept. So that's the type of restaurant. Typical meal contained half of the calories. So one meal contained half of the daily calories, 1.5 times as much sodium, and all this aging fat that people are recommended to eat in a whole day. So they looked at 685 meals, 156 desserts, and the average calories, 1,128 per meal. They had the average sodium level was 3,200 milligrams.
That's a lot.
The average fat, I think they said, was 40 grams, and 60% of the limit, this doesn't even matter for cholesterol, so there's no real reason to restrict, if you will, cholesterol in the food you eat other than the saturated fat. But it was pretty remarkable that those restaurants that even said they were trying to cut down had actually increased the sodium content by 2.4%. Now, contrast that with processed grocery foods. They were processed from grocery stores in the U.S., had actually decreased the sodium levels by about 3.5%. So the stores and the processed foods, the soups, are all on an attempt to decrease it, but our restaurant meals, which we're eating more of, it turns out we aren't doing as well with.
McDonald's decided not to serve their triple Angus burger anymore. Apparently demand for it's not there, and it's gotten a little bit too expensive. So they took their Angus burger off the menu, but they substituted that with three different combinations of double double hamburgers. So they've made some adjustments there. I guess KFC now is offering grilled chicken. Is that an improvement for that? I've heard KFC's done some, among all the fast food places, convenience food places, that they're probably one of the best in trying to make it a little more healthy anyway, going with grilled chicken.
Well, grilled and roasted chicken are much higher than fried chicken, are much healthier than fried chicken from a standpoint of the fat content. Now, I don't know that we've looked at the sugar content of it, but I think it's probably much healthier than fried in any case. So that is an alternative, if you will.
Yeah,
especially if you take the skin off it.
Yeah, no skin. Right, no skin, obviously. But I think of all the fast food places, they studied this and they found KFC, among all of them, did a better job in trying to offer healthier options than some of the others. Medication non-adherence. What can you talk about with that story?
Well, what this is people don't realize that if they're taking aspirin or they're taking a statin like Lipitor or they're taking a drug routinely like a antihypertensive, a blood pressure lowering pill, that if they stop them suddenly, what we call withdraw from them suddenly, there is often a rebound in events. So if you stop your aspirin, there's an increased risk of clotting. If you stop your statin, there's an increased risk of having a heart attack. And if you stop your blood pressure pill, there's an increased risk of high blood pressure and all of its consequences. So the point is that if you are going to stop one of those, if you're taking them, and you say, I don't like it or I don't like the side effect, please check with your physician first. The cost to society for non-compliance, that is not keeping your pills, if you will, stable, not taking your diabetic medication, not doing all this, is about $100 billion a year. So it's an enormous cost to society. And that's just in the United States. So please do take your pills and recognize that if you stop taking them, even the over-the-counter ones, that there may be a rebound side effect.
What if you've been taking a pill for blood pressure, for cholesterol for a long time, and went to another medication? Is there a process there whereby you can start the next one immediately after you've been on the other one for quite a long time?
Right. You should obviously, if you're getting that prescribed by a physician, so you're going from one blood pressure pill, and we're switching a lot of people off of beta blockers now back to some of the older hydrochlorothiazide or the ACE inhibitors or drugs like that because of side effects. The beta blockers cause you to eat a little more and cause you to gain weight and have some other side effects that increase your risk of depression. So the people are going away from those. The way you do that is you've got to do it gradually, going off one and gradually going on another. With most other drugs, switching from one to another is much easier. So for example, on a statin, if you go from, for example, simvastatin to atorvastatin, from one of the older drugs to Lipitor, now that Lipitor is generic, you can just do that in a single day without a problem.
All right, we'll be back with emails in a moment on You, the Owner's Manual Radio Show with Dr. Mike Roizen on Radio MD. Stay well.
I am a face of influenza.
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 We all are faces of influenza.
I'm a mom, and I'm a face of influenza.
Health officials now recommend everyone 6 months of age and older get immunized against influenza this
and every year.
Vaccination is safe and is the best way to help protect yourself and your family from contracting and spreading the flu.
We all are faces of influenza.
See your healthcare provider about getting immunized. The American Lung Association urges everyone 6 months of age and older, and we mean everyone, to get vaccinated.
Visit facesofinfluenza.org.
Influenza is serious. So are we. get vaccinated.
With the American Academy of Pediatrics, I'm Dr. Don Schifrin. The U.S. is experiencing an increase in the number of cases of whooping cough. This is a serious illness caused by pertussis bacteria. It often starts with what seems like a common cold. Then, especially for toddlers, the cough worsens and leads to the characteristic whoop sound on inhaling. During this phase of the illness, which usually lasts more than 2 weeks, the child can get short of breath and the skin around the mouth may turn blue. Older children may cough so hard they vomit. The illness can be particularly deadly for infants who can develop complications such as pneumonia and seizures. Whooping cough is highly contagious and can spread to children who have not been vaccinated. The best way to prevent this dangerous illness is to be sure your child received all doses of the pertussis vaccine. This is usually given as the DTaP vaccine. And for more information on preventing whooping cough, visit www.cisp.org. With a Minute for Kids, I'm Dr. Don Schifrin.
Hi, I'm Dr. Regina Benjamin, U.S. Surgeon General. As a family doctor, I've seen the terrible impact of a premature birth. Losing a baby is one of the hardest things a family can go through. As Surgeon General, I see the toll that premature births have on our nation. It can cause lifelong disabilities. It is the leading cause of death in newborns. And our country has one of the highest rates of preterm birth in the world. We must do better. Hospitals need to ensure that babies are delivered early, only when medically necessary. We need research to find the causes of premature birth and research to find new ways to prevent it. Couples need to learn the risk of premature birth and what they can do to have a full-term baby, such as getting a preconception checkup. Remember, 40 weeks is a full-term pregnancy, and every week of pregnancy counts. Let's work together for stronger, healthier babies.
I can solve difficult problems for a Fortune 500 company.
I can run a successful business.
I can put my military experience to work for your company.
I can manage your home improvements.
I can publicize a message.
I can teach your children.
But I can't put my skills to work for your organization
if I'm not given the opportunity.
Nearly 50 million Americans have disabilities. Capitalize on their talents with employment practices that benefit everyone. Learn more at whatcanyoudocampaign.org.
Hi, I'm Olympic gold medalist Shawn Johnson. I want to make sure you know about the March of Dimes March for Babies. This walk is really special to me. I was born with an Apgar score of 0, which is not an ideal way to start. Every day, babies start life the same way, with the odds stacked against them. Their first steps are made possible by ours, all of ours. Take the first step at marchforbabies.org. Let's walk together for stronger, healthier babies.
And now, back to you, the Owner's Manual Radio Show. And now joining Dr. Michael Roizen is renowned plastic surgeon, Dr. Arthur Perry.
Dr. Arthur Perry not with us this week. He'll be back next week. Dr. Gary Ginsberg not with us this week. He'll be back next week. But Dr. Mike Roizen is here, and I'm here, Joe Galewski. Thank you for listening today to you, the Owner's Manual Radio Show. Service of youbeauty.com. And morning and night multivitamins. Okay, we had a little bit of technical issue in the previous segment. We promised emails, questions from our listeners with Dr. Mike's answers. So Mike's with us now. So I think we can get to these questions. This is from Emma, Dr. Mike. She says, I like French fries, but they aren't good without salt. How do I know if I have to cut back?
The basic thing, Emma, is French fries are bad, too.
That's right.
And French fries are much worse than the salt. So French fries, those potatoes, absorb the fat they're fried in. And the fat they're fried in, unless you've got an exceptional fryer, is, in fact, a lousy fat. That is one that ages you. So the basic message is get rid of the French fries and get rid of the salt while you're at it. But the salt isn't any place near as bad as the fries are.
I know fries are bad, but what if you were to eliminate salt on the fries? Would it make it any better?
Probably a little better.
A little better.
But, I mean, it's a little better like going from 100 to 101 degrees.
Yeah, not by much.
You know, it's not much.
How about sea
so
salt?
The basic message is avoid fries.
Yeah. Yeah.
No benefit in sea salt versus regular salt.
No, sea salt is not better anyway, right?
It's just as bad as regular salt.
Mm-hmm, mm-hmm. But if somebody likes the taste of salt as an additive, and what would be a suitable replacement that would provide the kind of flavor people enjoy from putting salt on their food? Anything?
Yeah, it is spices, other spices. So hot pepper is one. So another, a lot of people like different spices, rosemary, garlic, etc. I love garlic. So you could have me have potatoes with just garlic. I don't need any salt with it. I don't need any butter with it. I don't need anything else. Just the garlic, and roast the garlic and then mash it. So what you do is find spices that you like and really flavor things. Another one. So if you're going to have a whole wheat pizza, and this is a trick I learned from John LaPuma, who's a physician chef, and John said, you want synergy. And I said, what is that? He said, making two of the same item, that is two of the same tastes with a little different structure. So I said, give me an example. He said, on a pizza, have both tomato bits, dried tomato bits, and tomato sauce. And I said, wow, that flavor of those two together is huge. And he said, that's exactly right. That's called synergy. It boosts the flavor. It's not additive. It's synergistic. And what it does is if the taste of tomato sauce gives you a one tomato flavor, and the taste of tomato bits, dried tomato bits, gives you a one, the two together are like a 10. It really accentuates the flavor and makes that pizza taste, and a veggie stuffed pizza is what we prefer, makes that taste magnificent.
Mm. Interesting. Very interesting. John in Connecticut wants to know, Dr. Mike, what do you do if you're allergic to aspirin?
Well, so the reason you're taking aspirin, I got to find out, John, but basically he didn't say that in the email. I assume it was to prevent cardiovascular disease. And what we have found is that you do other things that prevent either cancer or cardiovascular disease. So exercise is one of those. But the best anti-inflammatory, like aspirin, is in fact a low dose of statins. So that is that atorvastatin or Lipitor. More than 40% of the effect of the statin isn't in lowering cholesterol, it's in decreasing inflammation, which is the same thing that aspirin does. So aspirin has a anti-clotting effect as well as has a effect at decreasing the inflammation. So for the anti-clotting effect, you could take either, if you will, something else that has an anti-clotting effect, such as glucosamine or such as, in fact, garlic does and ginger does, the G's do. And if for the anti-inflammatory effect, you could take that higher dose of statin or even a dose of statin if you're not taking any. So that's my answer on what you do if you're allergic to aspirin. Do other things that help you antagonize the effect you're trying to antagonize, and a statin is a very good choice for that, Joe.
So for folks on aspirin, though, can tolerate it, can take it, probably should review the proper way to take an aspirin.
Right. It's two baby aspirin, half of a regular one. Doesn't matter whether you take them together or whether you take them in the morning or evening, with a half a glass of warm water before and afterwards. Why the warm water? Because 70% of the side effects of aspirin are landing on your stomach lining and eroding that. So instead of landing on your stomach lining, have it land on your in the water, get dissolved by the water, and not cause the side effects that you get from the stomach lining, bleeding, or being eroded.
All right, very good. Nancy, New Jersey. Here's the question. I'm on simvastatin. I've heard you talk about the benefits of a statin that doesn't cross the blood-brain barrier for my brain. Does simvastatin work?
Well, what this is there are three studies that show that statins that don't cross the blood-brain barrier decrease your risk of Alzheimer's disease and of dementia, generalized memory loss, by about 60%. It's a huge benefit. We've only had three studies. We usually like to have four, and I've said this before, so we don't know how much weight to put on this data, but it looks pretty darn good. And the statins that do it are ones that don't cross the blood-brain barrier. You'd say, well, if I want a brain effect, shouldn't I have something that gets into my brain? And the answer is, we would think so. But apparently, it sucks the inflammatory things out of your brain, which is the benefit it gives you. And the ones that do it aren't simvastatin, but are the ones Lipitor, which is atorvastatin in generic, and rosuvastatin or Crestor, which is not generic. So Crestor is much more expensive right now. Lipitor or atorvastatin is generic. It went off of patent last year sometime, so it should be very inexpensive. You can shop around, call different pharmacies. Shouldn't cost you more than $10 for a month's supply. And at many pharmacies, I think it's $4 for a month's supply.
All right, Donna in New Jersey coming up here with a question. Dr. Mike, how do I find a hotel where I'll not get secondhand smoke?
This is actually a very interesting question because she must have heard a report on the radio or on our show where they looked at the secondhand smoke, that is, how much secondhand smoke you were getting in non-smoking rooms at hotels. And at hotels that weren't totally non-smoking, that is, at hotels that allowed smoke in some rooms, the people in the non-smoking rooms got a dose of cigarette smoke that was equivalent to them getting secondhand smoke, as if they were getting a fairly high dose. And it was only in hotels that didn't allow any smoke that you got down to a very low level. So I would call the hotel and say, do you allow smoking any place? If they allow smoking any place in or around the hotel, don't choose that hotel because you're going to get some smoke. So go to a totally smoke-free hotel is the only way of not getting secondhand smoke.
Yeah, if you're a non-smoker and you find a hotel room smoking, it's very easy to tell somebody's been in there smoking. So it's, demand it, and really demand it, because it's not a good thing to do. Got a couple more top medical stories of the week for Dr. Mike to cover. How about anger? Is it linked to a raised risk of heart attack? How about exercise? Lowering the risk of lung and colorectal cancer with middle-aged men. And ED, yes, the dreaded ED is tied to something that men use a lot. Plus another real-age tip from Dr. Mike coming up for the end of the show. udocs@gmail.com, udocs@gmail.com. This is You, the Owner's Manual Radio Show with Dr. Michael Royston on Radio MD. Stay well.
You tune up your car and change the oil when it's running sluggish, right? Well, then how come when you're feeling low and sluggish, you aren't doing something about it? D-Herbs can help with their full body cleanse or dozens of other healthy, all-natural supplements and products. It's time to finally do something for you. Take a look at D-Herbs quality all-natural products, and you get a free gift, famous D-Herbs all-natural, all-herbal cleansing tea and an ebook with important life-changing information that you can download. It's called The Power of Cleansing. You can heal from any disease. Just go to freedherbs.com. That's free, the letter D, herbs.com, and claim your free herbal cleansing tea. You just pay a small shipping fee for that, and then you can download your free ebook on the wonders of healing cleansing. You'll also get a 15% off discount code if you should decide to make a purchase. Free gifts for you, plus a special gift of better health. freedherbs.com. freedherbs.com.
If you know the symptoms and get the facts, you'll know the signs of a heart attack. Women, listen to me, and when I'm done, if it sounds familiar, call 911.
Pain in your neck, chest,
arms, or jaw,
shortness of breath,
please tell us more. Cold sweats and nausea, tiredness,
it's time to take it serious.
Back pain, stomach pain, shortness of breath, cold sweats, nausea, dizziness. If you know the symptoms and heed the signs, you'll be around for a long, long time. Women, listen to me, and when I'm done, if any sound familiar, call 911.
Learn a song that could save your life. Get a free download at womenshealth.gov/heartattack.
Women, listen to me, and when I'm done, if any sound familiar, call 911. If any sound familiar, call 911.
A message from the U.S. Department of Health and Human Services.
Are you always looking for places to stop and rest because you're short of breath, wheezing, or coughing? Who wants to live like that? See your doctor for a simple breathing test to find out if it's COPD, a serious lung disease. With treatment, soon you could be living more and stopping less. Visit copd.nhlbi.nih.gov. A message from the U.S. Department of Health and Human Services.
Did you know only about 3% of the CEOs of Fortune 500 companies are women?
And of the 18,000 police chiefs in America, less than 2% are women.
So it's no wonder that only one in five girls believes she has what it takes to lead.
But did you know?
We can change that.
The time you spend with a girl now.
The words you say to her today.
Can give her the courage, confidence, and character to become a leader tomorrow.
So speak up.
Get involved.
Nurture her potential.
Share your experience.
Invest your resources.
Did you know?
Together, we can get her there.
Get started today. Visit togetherthere.org.
With the American Academy of Pediatrics, I'm Dr. Don Schifrin. Kids often test parental limits and rules, and sometimes parents decide enough is enough. That's when a timeout may be effective. Timeouts stop children from getting attention after they misbehave. Timeouts work best for children between the ages of 2 and 5, but can be effective for kids as old as 10 in some cases. A rule of thumb is 1 minute of timeout for every year of your child's age. For example, a 4-year-old would get a 4-minute timeout. Some guidelines for a timeout. Give the timeout immediately after the unacceptable behavior so your child knows why she's being disciplined. Explain clearly why the behavior was unacceptable. Calmly place your child in a quiet, boring, but secure place. If she gets up, quietly explain that her timeout isn't over and return her to her seat. When it is over, wipe the slate clean and remember to praise your child each time and every time she shows acceptable behaviors. With a minute for kids, I'm Dr. Don Schifrin.
And now back to you, the Owner's Manual Radio Show. Here are the U-Docs, Dr. Michael Roizen and Dr. Arthur Perry.
Dr. Perry's back next week on the show. I'm Joe Galewski. We still have a couple more medical stories of the week to finish up here on this in this hour, and then Dr. Mike's Real Age Tip. For the week, we'll end this hour as well. ED, the dreaded ED, Dr. Mike, is tied to a something that men use. What is that?
It's opiates. That is, narcotics that are used to relieve pain has a very high preponderance of people developing erectile dysfunction while they're using it and when they're using it. Short-term use, they get rid of the ED, no problem. Long-term use, not so sure they ever get rid of the ED. So the message is, if you need narcotics, only use them for a short term. You have to stay with them for a long term. It's not good for your enjoyment of sex. At least that was what this study said.
Here's the headline on the next medical story. And it's combined supplements. Yes or no? Any better for cholesterol, combined supplements?
Well, this was a very interesting one. This is looking at over-the-counter supplements, and a lot of people go off of statin to red yeast rice, and it was saying, can they get a better effect using, in fact, not only red yeast rice, but going with a phytosterol as well? And the answer is there was no difference between the phytosterol or placebo group compared to red yeast rice alone. That is, when you had red yeast rice, 1,800 milligrams, so that's an awful lot. If you have that, whether you take phytosterol or not, doesn't matter. The red yeast rice, which is a statin, red yeast rice is actually one of the older statins. I think it's privastatin. So, in fact, I would tell people you're only getting a statin if you're getting red yeast rice. And it's an expensive version of a statin, so you might want to talk to your physician about going to a drug like Lipitor or Atorvastatin, which is more effective. It's potent because not only does it lower your cholesterol, it also decreases inflammation, as we talked about before. And obviously, the people who are on diet and exercise plus either red yeast rice or statin have the lowest risk of cardiovascular disease and of some other things, such as memory dysfunction.
Now, when you're keeping a check on your cholesterol, you're keeping a check on your high blood pressure, is the, obviously, that both should be, in check. Is there one more important to make sure that it's right than the other? Is it more so blood pressure than cholesterol?
Well, if you've got an average cholesterol or an average blood pressure, getting a high blood pressure compared to that or a high cholesterol compared to that blood pressure is much more important. But if you have, but both are important. I don't want to minimize that. Blood pressure is about four times more important to have normal than is your cholesterol. And the blood pressure normality, of course, is 115 over 75. The cholesterol you want is a LDL under 120, or if there's a high risk of cardiovascular disease in your family, a cholesterol under 100.
All right, 120 over 75. Anger, not a good thing, probably.
115
over 75. I thought it was 115. You mentioned 120 over 75. It's 115 over 75.
No, I meant to say 115 over 75.
Yeah,
I
right.
said 120. I apologize.
Okay, 115 over 75. Heart attack risk and anger, what's the connection?
Well, when you're angry, you cause acute inflammatory changes, which ruptures plaques, so you're much more likely to have an acute heart event. So one of the things you should make sure is that if you decide to get angry, you have at least exercised and taken your statin, etc. This was looking at people who had, if you will, 4 days of having a heart attack. They were asked about a range of events, their diet, lifestyle, exercise, and medications. And more than, I think, about a third of them, 1,400 of them out of the 3,800, had an episode of anger within 2 hours. That's because anger causes that acute plaque rupture. So don't fight with your wife unless you're in very good shape, taking your statin and your aspirin, and have made sure you're in otherwise
insurance is
excellent
paid up.
Shape.
your insurance is paid up. All the premiums are paid up until
those restaurants that serve you French fries before if you're going to get angry.
Yeah, let's do this one more story, then your real age tip of the week for the hour. Exercise.
And in fact, that's a key point, Joe. That's a key point. The regular exercisers, those people who did the routine exercise, were not affected by anger.
Okay. Exercise in middle-aged men. It's good for middle-aged men in what way?
Well, this is a big study. 17,000 men, Cooper Center study. Those who were most fit had a decreased lung cancer rate, even when they smoked, compared to the non-fit, of 68%. And of colorectal cancer was decreased about 40%. So that decreased both. And in addition, although it didn't decrease the risk of prostate cancer, it dramatically improved their long-term survival of all three cancers, including prostate cancer, after they had it. So the message is exercise takes care of anger, takes care and decreases your risk of cancer dramatically. 68% decrease with lung cancer, 40% decrease with colorectal cancer, and dramatically increased your survival from all three if you're already fit.
All right, time for Dr. Mike's Real Age Tip of the Week.
And this is easy and inexpensive stress relief tips. If you're looking for an easy way to de-stress, a hug or two might just do the trick. So another reason not to have anger with your spouse. Like a snuggle for your insides, hugs are linked to warm, fuzzy feelings. Even better, those good feelings translate to a lower heart rate, lower blood pressure, and dampen your overall response to stress before and after difficult times. So in a world where so many things send stress levels soaring, we can't help it. We will get exposed to stress. It's a good idea to find a few easy and effective stress relief tips. A study of premenopausal women revealed those who received the most hugs and massages from their significant others had the highest level of oxytocin, a hormone and brain chemical linked to happy feelings and security. Even better, to a lower heart rate, lower blood pressure, and lower effect of that stress. Another good thing about oxytocin, that it keeps your blood pressure in check when you're stressing about an upcoming event or trying to recover from a nerve-wracking experience. Seeing oxytocin somehow puts the brakes on a bunch of nervous system things that ramp up your response and your body's aging from stress. So the real age benefit, make sure you hug often. It can reduce your age. It can make you, in fact, 8 years younger. So, Joe, keep hugging.
Oh, I will, Dr. Mike. Thank you very much. Well, thank you for listening in this show today, you, the Owner's Manual Radio Show. Have a question for Dr. Mike, udocs@gmail.com. He'll get you an answer, or if you miss a segment, an interview, an author, a guest, radiomd.com. This is You, the Owner's Manual Radio Show with Dr. Mike Roizen on Radio MD. Thanks for listening and stay well.
Hi, this is Melanie Cole, show host here at Radio MD and a mother of two. I want parents to know about Great Start Life Insurance offered by Guarantee Trust Life Insurance Company. Great Start ensures the future insurability of your children. Now, what does that mean? Too often, people will get an illness or an injury at some point in their lives that afterwards can preclude them from receiving life insurance, and that can cause a lot of problems. But by insuring your children now with the Great Start Plan, the insurance that grows with your children, they'll already be insured regardless of future illness or injury. Find out all about the great benefits of the Great Start Plan. Go to GreatStartGTL.com and see for yourself why Great Start is, well, a great start for your kids. Peace of mind at GreatStartGTL.com. That's GreatStartGTL.com. For the Great Start Plan, go to GreatStartGTL.com.
Plan not available in all states. Life insurance underwritten by Guaranteed Trust Life Insurance Company, Glenview, Illinois.
Sometimes people buy cookies as a gift for us to send to our soldiers. They tell us it reminds them of home.
Emily is one of thousands of Girl Scouts who will send cookies to troops stationed overseas.
Children shouldn't have to take abuse because they aren't strong enough to escape it. I want to give them a helping hand.
Alicia uses proceeds from her cookie sales to provide mentoring programs at a shelter in her community.
Selling Girl Scout cookies has taught me how to manage money, be responsible, and talk to other people.
Tanya wants to go to business school and hopes to run her own company someday.
On a visit to the food bank, I learned that in this economy, more and more people need help to feed their families.
Morgan and other Girl Scouts are starting a project to help get food to those who need it most. Every Girl Scout cookie has a mission, to help girls do great things. Find your cookies now at GirlScoutCookies.org.